Hey, what's going on? Welcome to The Doug Show. My name is Doug Cunnington, and this is part three of the interview with Matt Giovannisi. We talk about his site, Swim University, and how it was impacted by the helpful content update and how he's going to recover the site. So if you haven't heard the first two parts, be sure to check them out. They are available on your podcast player or over on YouTube, so be sure to have a look. I have been talking about my new podcast, Ranking Revolution, with really a focus on SEO, marketing, more on the professional side and like higher level conversations. So check it out. I'll put a link in the description. Depending on when you are listening to this, some episodes might be available. It might be coming out in a few days, but you can sign up for the email list and subscribe and make sure you're aware of what is happening. So I mentioned in the last intro that my plans changed a little bit because of the way that I wanted to launch the show in the Google algorithm update that started in March. So it kind of accelerated my plan and made me want to release the episodes as soon as possible. But the thing is, there's all this conversation and all this attention on the algorithm update, especially on the YouTube side. I watched a couple of videos from some of my friends and peers out there that were impacted, and then maybe some people that weren't impacted, but they're just talking about it. And I see a lot of people are really interested in getting more information, even though at this point in time that I'm recording this, we actually don't have more information. We're just talking about a couple observations that we may have and then what Google has talked about. But the thing that I could take advantage of just from an interest standpoint from the overall community and audience is I can invite people to join me on live streams for Ranking Revolution, the new podcast, and just like help grow the channel. So I could actually invite well-known people to join me. We could all benefit from the live stream. We could all cross promote. And essentially I can accelerate the growth of the channel and the show by taking advantage of like Google releasing this core update, this very major update. It sounds like this could be one of the biggest ones that they've released at all, and there's multiple systems impacted. So anyway, as I was looking at my schedule and I'm like, I'm not in a hurry, I'll do this on my own time. When Google released this, I felt pressure to, you know, publish episodes and then just be part of the conversation because I have the right contacts and I could pull interesting people together and help the show, basically help the new show. So do check out Ranking Revolution, and I will circle back with Matt, right? So when we recorded this interview, it was a couple weeks ago. It really wasn't that long ago, but we didn't have any sight of when Google updates were going to come out or that it was going to be done in this fashion or anything like that. So really kind of surprising, but hopefully I'll have Matt back on pretty soon to hear, you know, what went on with his site. And this is one of the things that's very interesting too, is I don't know if anyone has confidence that sites that were impacted by the helpful content update in September of 2023, I don't know anyone that has confidence that if someone wrote all the content by hand, if they were testing the products, I don't know anyone that thinks that those sites are just automatically going to recover. I think everyone is just waiting to see what's going to happen. And this episode should come out on March 25th. And the thing is, like, even at March 25th, like, I don't think Google will be done rolling out the update. And they said it'll take, you know, up to a month or so. So we really don't know what's going to happen. And sometimes it takes like a couple weeks after the update before everything kind of settles out. So we'll see how it goes. Thanks again to Matt. You know, check out his stuff. We'll link up in the show notes so you can check out his podcast, Money Lab. And, you know, he's over at Swim University. So thanks a lot to Matt, and let's get to the episode. Okay. And back to the source question here from Hando. You have been focusing on one thing. Mm-hmm. How has that been? Has it simplified things?
No. My energy as a person, I constantly have to be doing something, right? As much as I go, Matt, you know, slow down. This is my word for the year is stillness. I'm trying to slow down as a human being. But I have a lot of creative energy and it has to go somewhere or else I would just watch TV and I would be depressed. So that's why I would just always do these other projects. But now I have to rein it in onto the one project. And so within a few months of like this year, I've started so many internal projects and we have so many moving parts within Swim University because, again, my energy has to go somewhere. So instead of it going across brands, which is spreading myself thin and the money's not as great, it's now all going into one thing and the money's also not great. So it's like, it's just, yeah.
The timing was unfortunate.
The timing is unfortunate. Yeah. So I'm hoping, and again, like, it's really just managing expectations and I'm literally trying to be like, Matt, all you have to do is this. If you do this one thing every week for the rest of your life, it will make money. And it's really hard to remind myself of that. And every day I have to remind myself that. And when I do have extra creative energy, I need an outlet for it that has not tied to business or income in any way, mm-hmm. you know.
I've been another thing you'll have to figure out. Yeah, because like you're going to have extra energy and at some point you need to direct it somewhere else. I've been playing a little more guitar. I got away from it a little bit, you know, get a little busy. And then there's one song I'm working on and I've been picking it back up just a little bit. And I need to do more and more of that because like it's literal. I'm not even that good of a guitar player.
Right.
And it's like literally just for me. It's just a hobby.
Just to do.
And it's like, I'm probably not going to get really super good. But however, we're middle-aged now, right?
Yep.
We may have just as much time. So if I get a little, like 1% better
mm-hmm.
for the next 20 years,
yeah, you're gonna be an 80-year-old shredder.
Fucking good.
Yeah.
How old do you think I am?
yeah,
do the math 60? On that one. Yeah. But okay. So a couple thoughts here. And I know we need to wrap up. You got some stuff going on today, but question from Marcus that we sort of skipped earlier. How are you using AI to produce content currently?
I use ChatGPT. I pay for it. I use it to write all of our emails that go out. So that's that.
Replacing you.
Yeah. So I use it for that. I use AI for writing articles on the website. I use Phrase right now is what I'm using.
Why Phrase over ChatGPT?
Because, oh man, it has this really kick-ass feature that I love because this is what I used to do anyway, is it scans the entire website and pulls on all the H2s and H3s. And then I just pick the H2s and H3s that I like to build an outline and then prompt it. And then it creates the article. I mean, I have to do a lot of editing.
It pulls it from the SERPs, right?
Yeah. Which is what I would do anyway, manually. So it does that automatically. It I feel like sometimes I use AI and it just takes me longer when I could have just sat down and wrote it.
Okay.
You know, so I go back and forth on that. We have a meeting scheduled to discuss ways that we can utilize AI even more to create even more, not to make our jobs easier, but to make our jobs, to make our output higher, mm-hmm. as simple as that. So we'll look into I personally am the only one in the company that uses AI. Steph doesn't use it. Chris doesn't use it. But I've been testing tools to write scripts for our videos and just clean them up, edit. I've been using it for writing sales emails where I would dictate on the phone my sales email, and then I would transcribe it through a Descript, and then I would stick that into ChatGPT to basically edit it, and then that would become like a series of emails for a sale or something.
Great.
That works incredibly well because I feel like I'm better at selling verbally than I am in writing. And I found we do short form videos, and I found my brother has to like hand do all the captions, and I found an AI tool that will auto edit and auto caption and animate which is what we don't do now. So it actually would improve our content a little bit. Gotcha. by a little bit.
Why don't you use Descript for the captions?
What's that?
Why don't you use Descript for the captions?
Because editing in Descript is a bane of my existence. I don't understand it. So,
all you need to do, and we could take it offline, but like, did your brother have access to the projects or whatever?
No. So he does everything in Premiere.
Okay. Here, do this instead, or at least you could ignore me if you want. But basically, you could highlight the whatever passage you want.
Yeah.
To just highlight the text, right click, create a new composition, mm-hmm. and then it auto captions. Make Chris go and edit.
No, I mean, like, no, sorry. Premiere auto captions.
Okay.
But he just has to, there's no animation to it.
Okay.
So, it's not that much, like, it's the way he's doing it actually would probably be faster than the AI way of doing it. But the AI way of doing it makes it a little bit better because it does the animations for us, which would take forever.
I got you. Okay.
But again, like there's the one thing that you can do in Premiere with a plugin is you can do similar to what you can do in Descript, where it will like edit out all of the like pauses, but it will also add the zooms in.
Oh, so it doesn't look so.
Yeah. So it's like, and you can just hit a button and it does it. And you can like, do the intensity of that. So there's a lot of like cool stuff that it does, and it makes it, and it's still in Premiere, so it still has, like, we could still control the volume. That's the one thing about Descript is like, I'm such a audio nerd, and there's, and also like color correction, we do a lot of color correction sometimes too on our videos, so it's like, it's just shit that it can't do, and so I only use Descript right now because it can transcribe my audio files, and I think ChatGPT can do it, but every time I've tried it, it's failed. So
yeah, I've run into some issues with it, but I suspect it's something like pretty soon we'll be able to just upload the audio file to like Gemini or whatever, and then it'll just be like
so I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to this Sora for B-roll. I would love to. There's one thing that this software does where it automatically pulls in and adds B-roll based on what it knows about the video. And I'm like, it right now it pulls it from stock footage, like online, like free stock footage. So there's not a lot of pool and hot tub stock footage. But I'm like, if it could pull from our own library, that would be so sick.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling with AI editing our videos is going to get way faster, and editing writing scripts gets faster. And the one piece of our system right now that is incredibly fast, but is the slowest, is me recording. And so what we do is last week I spent literally 1 hour in front of a camera just like this with a teleprompter, and I record it 12 short videos that are all separate, 2 long form YouTube videos, and then 1 like 6-minute video that I'm chopping up into like 6 different ads, right? And it took me 1 hour to make all of that. And so that is the slowest part of our process. Because I can't use AI for that part. Mm-hmm. The only thing I think AI could help is maybe with teleprompter, because I have to copy and paste and add it to the teleprompter every single time. So that's kind of a pain in the ass. But other than that, like, it's not that much work. So there's a lot of, like, we're literally gonna have a meeting and brainstorm like different parts of our process and where we could put AI, and then would it make it faster? And then if it can make it faster, can we improve our output? Mm-hmm. And do we even need to do that? Like, are we already outputting more than everyone else, which is true. Mm-hmm. So do we really need to go faster?
Yeah, right.
Or do we just want to make our lives easier? Like, what's the trade-off? So that we're going to have a meeting about that soon.
And one, I don't think you guys could use this specifically, because it sounds like yours is more like process oriented. But one thing I did recently was have ChatGPT, in this case, come up with different avatars
essentially. And then like a list of ideas, which you have a ton of ideas already, right? And then just like match it up. Like, okay, this user, which ideas? So that from a video perspective or keyword perspective, it's just like X for this person, Y for this person.
Yeah.
And then you end up, I mean, a lot of it is redundant, but this is a, you know, we're at we're just trying to get high throughput.
Yeah. Well, like the one thing we're doing, which I believe is AI, is YouTube research tab.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Fucking game changer.
Yeah.
So that's all we're using for.
It's crazy.
Creating videos. Yeah.
And,
or at least for ideation. Oh, ideation. Like,
yeah.
What was it? So I had a business problem, right? Where I was getting emails can I say what it is? Yeah. I was getting emails. People wanted to download our videos and distribute them privately in their own company. And I'm like, no, can't do that. But I was like, oh, that's an opportunity to perhaps sell an enterprise level package, whatever, whatever. And I went up to Steph and I was like, oh, I'm kind of mad because this guy, you know, didn't know any better. And I was just like, it irks me a little bit. And so I was like discussing with her and she had an immediate decision. She was like, no. I was like, okay. But I didn't like that answer. So I went down to ChatGPT and I was like talking with it through a problem. And it was providing legit responses to me like, all right, here are some things you should think about when making this decision, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh man, I didn't even think of that. That's pretty good idea. You know, and it's like, it doesn't have to be a thing that creates content. I could just talk to it.
Right.
That's cool. Like I can work out my own problems by just having a conversation with it as a member of the team.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty nuts.
It's funny. I heard someone talk about that. And as the tools have gotten better, I did this. I created what was just a chatbot at the time, but now you can create your own GPT.
Yeah,
right?
I do that.
You could customize it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, all right, you're Tim Ferriss, Seth Godin, and Derek Sivers. You're my business coach. And I laid out my plan for the podcast. I was like, I'm going to do a podcast. I'm going to have a boot camp. I'm going to turn it into a course. I'm going to sell it. Here are the issues I know I'm going to run into.
Mm-hmm.
What other issues? And like, just be my business coach for this.
Interesting.
And yeah, just like you said, if I'm just like, I'm thinking of this, what am I not thinking of? What issues am I going to run into?
And that's okay. That's a good use case. It reminded me of, I built a ChatGPT of me, of Matt, the pool boy. And I was like, I wrote it so that I thought we could answer customer service because we get not customer service, but people just email us like, I have a 20,000 gallon pool and it's green and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you have to read this whole fucking thing from these people. And again, we're doing this completely for free because there's people just email us and I'm like, I'm not going to just ignore them. So we have to answer them, but I can't do it. And I'm the only expert in the company. Right. Everyone else is like Steph is an expert and Chris is slowly becoming an expert, but like they're not.
It takes years. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes years. So I go, let me just clone myself as an expert. And I fed it our entire book and our entire website of content. So it knows to check our stuff first before it answers the question. And if it doesn't know, it doesn't give a bullshit answer. It says, call a professional or whatever it is. So I'm testing it. Where I'm getting emails and I'm just copy and pasting the email without even reading it in a ChatGPT and it just answers it. And I have to read it first to make sure that it's like, is this like, what's the hit rate of accuracy on this? Because otherwise I can't just give it to my brother and be like, just use this. Because otherwise if it's wrong, then we look bad. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you like fine tune it and say like, that was a good answer? That was a bad answer?
Yeah. So that's what I'm essentially doing over time. But I'm not confident in it, but it's good enough for me to do. And then I just read it and go like, yeah, that's fine. Or I'll just change a sentence or two. And it's like that I can answer questions super fast with that.
And it's like less draining than you having to like write and think about it.
You got to read it. Yeah. And you got to read these people's emails and they don't know how to write. So it is a run on. It is a.
They never saw.
It's a paragraph this thick in a run on sentence. It's like
no punctuation, no capitalization.
If anything, they use ellipses way too much. They capitalize fucking everything. Yeah. So it's just honestly, it takes more effort trying to understand their writing than it is to answer the question. So what I usually do is I just do control F and look for a question marks.
Yeah.
And I just like read that.
Okay.
Because I'm like, I don't need your whole fucking story. Just what's the question?
Yeah. It's like reading a recipe for a cheese sandwich.
Jump to recipe. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So a couple things to follow up. We're going to talk about Money Lab in a second.
Okay.
You mentioned Alex Hormozy. Is that how you say his last name?
Yes.
And I never, he didn't run across my feed very often. And a couple people mentioned him.
Mm-hmm.
I've now listened to a couple interviews with him. Very smart guy. He was on the Modern Wisdom podcast, which I like Chris Williamson quite a lot. I don't listen to every episode. But anyway, I listened to Alex's episode. And I think for certain people, hearing from him could be really inspiring.
Yeah.
For me, I was like, there's some stuff I really want to push back on. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I think Alex is really pushing for like greatness. He's pushing for excellence.
Yeah.
He mentioned a couple times, you know, like I have a specific quality standard that I really want to make sure I apply to all, like everything that I'm doing. And he maybe talked down on people that do good enough. I'm a good enough person.
Mm-hmm.
I do good enough.
I mean, if you see his website, it's very good enough.
It is.
And his book design is very good enough.
Oh, really? So he presents himself really well on the podcast. But anyway, I push back on a handful of things. But I'm like, great if it inspires people. But I'm like, I definitely, you know, you run across someone who reads like one or two articles and then they're an expert on something. Mm-hmm. I feel like there might be a lot of people that maybe hear Alex's content.
Yeah.
And then they get really inspired. Maybe. 0.5% of people or 0.005% like can actually live up to what he's talking about. But I think there's just a lot of people that think they are, and they're just kind of floundering around.
Yeah.
There's no question there. I'm just like, it's a really interesting message that he's talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think it fits for like most people ever. And it just ends up with people being assholes.
Yeah. So like all of these people, and I'm talking about health people, business people, wealth people, anyone out there giving, cooking even, you have to think for yourself and take it all with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
And honestly, if you can, question everything.
Yeah.
Like go in it skeptical. With him specifically, like, yeah, I was just very, I'm still skeptical of every single piece. I'm like, what's the motivation or like what's the, or, you know, sometimes I just ignore stuff. I'm like, that's not me. I mean, I don't need to hear that. And it's fine. You know, that's his take. And like, especially with like family stuff and like friend stuff and like just the level, the hardcore leveling up and the ruthlessness. I'm like, all right. Some people probably need to hear that. I'm not one of those people, but I can think for myself. And I've been doing this long enough to know, like, to not get suckered, not suckered, because there's nothing to be suckered into, but I guess, and even with like Chris Williamson or like Andrew Huberman or any of those guys, it's like, just take everything they say with a grain of salt, not that they're wrong or right, and just make a decision for yourself.
Yeah.
That's all. It's like, if you really want to take Andrew Huberman's advice in like the morning routine, like, fine, go for it. But like, I'm like, okay, that makes sense to me, but this other thing doesn't make sense, so I'm just not going to do that, and I'll be fine, you know, like everything in moderation again. So like, I think that's the same with business, is sometimes even with, like, I thought what he said about the ruthless focus on one thing, I'm like, I've had the opposite thought. And the longer I've been doing business, the more I've had the reverse, which is like, in the very beginning, I was like, I want to be like a Vox media company where I own like 10 or 8 different brands that are spread across different industries. And like, cause that's what I do, is I do content. And then as I got older and had more business experience, I realized, oh, but I could just do one of those things exceptionally well. And I bet you that would scale faster. And it has. And so when he said that, I'm like, That's what I thought. I came to that same conclusion independently. And so it aligned, and it was a reminder And that's why I made, and I went, okay, well, it's time to make a decision now because I've been validated. Like my idea has been validated by somebody who claims to be a millionaire or whatever.
Right.
Or somebody else who I was like, okay, that makes sense to me and I agree with it. And then there's other things where I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me and I don't agree with it. And so I just don't take that advice. But sometimes, and I think this is where the problem with all of this lies, is you're just, I'll just keep hearing different shit all the time, constantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the age of like swiping 60 second reels, you could change your mind and get unfocused very, very fast.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you kind of just have to like take the advice, write it down, turn off your phone and just stare at that and execute until it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And the, yeah, I got to keep it moving because I know. Do you have to be back at a certain time or?
No, not okay. At a certain time.
Okay. Just eventually. Great.
Just at some point.
I think with like Huberman and Peter Attia and a couple other folks.
Oh, I don't even know that.
I got like, I got burned out from like over optimization. And yeah. It's just like, it does, things don't have to be over optimized.
Yeah.
And that's where like Hormozy,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, sometimes like just chill the fuck out. And I'm sure he does, right? At certain times. But as I get older, I don't have the same drive as I used to.
Yeah.
And I don't care as much. And the thing is like, you were like, okay, you were talking about your business and you were like, it's probably easier or better to 10X in this area. But I think people have to make sure like you have your reasons why you want to do that. Some people are just like blindly doing it. And some of our friends, and they're just like, grow
yeah.
for anything. And it's just like, you should ask why like five times.
Most people that I've talked to who have, and again, this is just anecdotally in my own world, anyone who has tried to scale fast or just wanted to scale and build a team and have a big business and whatever, ends up hating it yeah. and going, I envy your approach, which is like, I don't have a big team. There's three of us and it's never been big because every single time it got to like four people, I'm like, I can't, this is stressful now.
Right.
Fuck stress. And I, you know, to me, stress is the ultimate killer. Mm-hmm. It's like, so that is my North Star of like, if I can avoid that problem in my life. And again, there's good stress and bad stress. And I'm talking about bad stress, like unnecessary stress, like stress that you put on yourself for no reason.
Yeah.
Or it's like money stress. It's like, all right, you can fix that. And it doesn't have, you don't have to make $1 billion to fix that. That I think has always been a North Star for me. And I've watched other people grow and then crash and burn. And I went, okay, so I just have to avoid that. That's all.
Yep.
You know, and again, the more people there is to manage, the more I'm like, this job sucks. I like doing videos. I like making content. You know, I don't want to work on the business. I want to work in the business. I like that. And it's like, and again, this is all about having your own thoughts and conversations with yourself and knowing thyself so that you can see this content and be like, fine, not for me.
Right.
And it's okay. Like, it's not that you have to call everything you see bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, fuck that guy or this is bullshit. It's like, no, it's just not for me.
And the thing, like the perfect, I think of this with books a lot or movies or whatever, but it could be content from an individual. You know, I read a lot of books and I might only get like one thing out of it. Totally worth it for like a life-changing idea to pay like $20 or $50 or whatever for the book. It's perfect. I don't have to agree with everything in there. We don't have to agree with everything we see from every creator.
That's the thing. You're right.
Take the good shit.
And that's where I guess if you know thyself, then you can be your own filter and go, I can watch this stuff and I can like it and I can disagree with it and I cannot get angry at it because because you are comfortable with who you are and what your opinions are and what you're, you know, and when you hear something and you get distracted, I think for me, that's the problem is like, I'll hear something and I go, oh, that's cool. Write it down, go. And then I go execute it immediately. And then I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Why did I just do that? Why did I just veer off the path?
Yeah.
I did it 2 days ago.
Yeah.
So I was like, halfway through the day, I went, what am I doing?
Yeah. All right. So speaking of veering off, you relaunched very quietly, you relaunched Money Lab. So what's the story with that?
The podcast.
Yeah. The podcast.
Yeah.
So what's the story?
The story with that is as short as I can make it. I used to be a part of an in-person mastermind when I first moved to Boulder. And it was, I would go and I would be my turn to speak, and we had 45 minutes per person. And when it was my turn to speak, I would stand up and just start talking about my business problem. In the same way that you would like, hey, take a breather every once in a while, I wouldn't do that. And so I would just talk and talk and talk. And some people would interject things here and there, but it would just get the wheels turning. By the end of my rant, I had solved my problem. And then somebody pointed out to me that she said, you know, you seem to figure out your own problems if you just talk it out loud. And that was years ago. And then I remembered that statement and I thought, I wonder if that's actually true. So I went into my garage and I had a problem I was trying to solve. I was trying to brainstorm ways that I could improve content on the website, like the written content. And I took my phone and I put the voice memo recorder on simply so I didn't feel like an idiot talking to myself. And I was recording, you know, I felt like I was doing something and not just walking around having a conversation with nobody. And so I was pacing and I was having the conversation and I had a notepad and I was just writing down all these ideas. And then at the end of it, I was like, wow, I got 10,000 steps in. So I was like, I covered a health thing. That was effortless. And I look at all these great ideas I have from like just working it out loud. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to do this as a practice, as sort of like as therapy for myself. It's just like kind of talk to myself but I was recording it and I would just delete the recording afterwards. And then one day I didn't have anything to talk about. And I was like, well, I don't need to go out in the garage and pace because I don't have any problems. But I still wanted my 10,000 steps, you know? So it felt effortless to get that because I was, again, engaged in something else. So I ended up deciding, oh, well, I'm recording it. What if I just publish that? And now I have another reason to record, not just to solve my own business problems, but to maybe have a rant about something or to talk about something I just worked on, you know, and just to recap the day or whatever. And I was like, maybe people will listen to this. Maybe they won't. I don't know, but that's not the point of it. But I was like, this is just feels like sawdust. And I'm just going to put it up. Mm-hmm. Because again, it's zero effort almost. Because it's like I'm doing it for a different, I'm doing it for two other different purposes. And now it's a third, and now I added a third purpose. So it's like killing three birds with one stone. And so I started doing it, but I was recording so much. And again, the quality is just on my phone. I do it in my garage, which is semi-soundproof, but it is, you know, whatever. Not the best sound quality. But I recorded so much that I'm putting out three a week. And I'm booked all the way out until, I mean, we're recording this like kind of mid-February, maybe late February. And I have episodes 3 days a week booked out all the way until the end of March. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, now it's all out of order. Now I'm talking about shit that's like, I'm talking about Sora. And I'm like, they're not going to hear about that until April.
Yeah.
By then.
Are you going to, I mean, it doesn't matter much. Do you care? Like, you didn't even announce this, right?
No, I think I said something about, like people are finding it now. They're like, you know, oh, they'll email me about, you know, because I'm still around or I'm on Twitter and they're like, oh, wow, I didn't even realize you had this like podcast going. And I was like, yeah, I think I maybe mentioned it once on Twitter, but Twitter's not the same as it used to be. So I don't get the same kind of engagement because I haven't been active in a long time. Yeah. So I think, no, I don't have an email list anymore. So I can't send an email.
I was going to ask you no email list. Mm-mm. So you're just, how many downloads are you getting? Do you know? Do you even look?
I have looked it. No, I don't know the answer to downloads. I do know the subscriber count because I use Transistor. And they have like a kind of a guesstimate of subscribers. Mm. And when I launched the first episode on January 1st, there was like 450 subscribers. Mm. And it quickly dropped to 122.
Okay. Yeah. So it was like old legacy subscribers from the old show.
Yeah. So I think we're roughly at about, I think like 125, if I had a guess.
Okay.
Of like subscribers. So again, I am putting out an insane amount of content, it feels like. And not all of it. A lot of it is just like maybe unlistenable of just me. Like I just did one yesterday where I just like ranted about an email I got from somebody who was trying to steal my content, and I turned it into something, but I was like, I need to talk about this because no one understands how I feel and this is how I feel. And like, what am I going to do about this problem? You know? And well, 30 minutes.
The interesting thing is like, so you have it all technically in a format that you could turn into text. Like you could write a book this way,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be like a coherent book. It could be like a string of blog posts or whatever. But like,
yeah,
just from that standpoint, you could whittle down like the top 10%. Cause I know a lot of it's just like stream of consciousness. Like mm-hmm. you prepare or whatever, but like some of it is not going to be relevant.
Some of it's prepared and most of it is stream of consciousness. Yeah.
But like the best 10% of
yeah.
whatever 50 hours yeah. or whatever, like
yeah.
it's probably,
there's decent. Probably gold in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It just needs to be mined
with AI. Like that's,
yeah.
I mean, you could do it yourself, right? Like back in the day, someone would just pour through the transcripts or whatever.
Yeah.
But nowadays, like you literally can make this a pretty easy thing.
Yes. I wouldn't, because there, I don't want a business attached to it. You know, like I really, this sounds insane, but I'm like actively not trying to, like I'm actively not making money. Like on purpose. There's no ads. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. And the reason for that is because as soon as I get a taste of the money, I'm going to be like, I can scale this or I should put some effort into this. And if there's no money, then I'm just doing what I set out to do and I'm blindly just going. And if it grows, like that kind of is money to me. You know, if it's like, oh,
attention.
Yeah. Magically, crazy. I got like 500 subscribers. And this was like, you know, after a year of doing this, like that was pretty easy or whatever it is. I'm like, fuck, I should do this more. And it's like, no, just keep, I don't know. There's no end goal. So it's like, it's kind of interesting.
I know what you're talking about. And we'll start wrapping it up here. For me on YouTube, I turned off ads.
Uh-huh.
And it, like YouTube does something as far as like building the brand and
yep.
something, right?
Yep.
It does something, but it was really important for me to just be like, I don't want ads running. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be
tempted.
Yeah.
Right.
And like I said, like it does play a role in the business and the top of the funnel and all that kind of stuff.
Of course.
But just like you're saying, as soon as I'm like, oh, I'm making X amount of money from running ads, then it changes everything and it leads to burnout, right? All these people, all these YouTubers are quitting and it's like,
yep.
Fuck, you fucked up. You created a business you hate
yep.
because you didn't realize it. And then you're making like $1 million a year and now you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I have to leave.
You have all these employees and it's a big to-do. And it's like, no, you were just a creative person.
Yeah.
You know, like you didn't have to make this a business.
They want to go back to like what we're doing.
So I mean, like this brings up an interesting conversation about Brew Cabin, and I've had it is the like people have asked me when I started doing the podcast, like, why don't you do that? Like, you know, you can like, what, why'd you stop doing that? And the reason is so that I could focus on Swim University, and I also stopped doing Money Lab. But it's like, but I'm doing Money Lab technically, right? But it doesn't make, you know, it's just a podcast. And I'm like, all right, that's so easy. Again, it's a byproduct of what I'm already doing. I'm also brewing. That is where my creative energy is going. The extra stuff that's like mm-hmm. spills over from Swim University. Why aren't I doing content for Brew Cabin? I know that if I did that, I could get a lot of creative energy out that way. And I still wrestle with it because I'm like, I think as soon as I tie it to money, it's screwed. Because I'll start to create I'll write a post. And I'll go, well, no, it has to rank because I need the traffic so that people buy the thing and whatever. And when it's like, what I would love to be able to do is just write an article for the good of the homebrewing hobby and the community of those people. Like, hey, I did this thing. It's definitely not going to rank because I don't know what it could even rank for. But I'm like, I just needed this documented.
Yeah.
If you find it, good for you, good for the industry. You know, or it's like, I wrote a book on this subject and I'm just going to give it out for free. I don't need the money. That feels good, you know, but then I think, yeah, or you could just take that energy, put it in the swim university and actually make money. So, you know, it's a catch 22, I guess.
I've heard some other of our friends like go back to just like their personal blog. Like they've sold their shit or whatever. Personal blog, no analytics, maybe an email list, but it's like they're writing for themselves. They can't even get into the metrics and analytics because they don't have it on. And I'm like, I don't have analytics on DougHuntington.com.
Smart.
And I'll probably slowly start blogging like more personal stuff that doesn't fit. And I'm like, I don't care if it ranks.
Yeah.
It's just like my thing. So, okay. Very cool. People can check out Money Lab.
Yeah.
Matt's not trying to do anything crazy with it.
No.
But we'll link up to it. Where else can people find you, Matt?
If you have a pool or a hot tub, Swim University. You know, I'm probably going to end up doing some brewing content. So if you're a home brewer like us, Brew Cabin is the name of the website. It's a YouTube channel with five videos.
They're good.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll link up to that stuff. We'll check in probably a few months or so and hear how things are going. Because I think the word on the street is like everyone thinks the SERPs are so bad that there's going to be an update that's sort of like,
I think March
will recover things. Yeah. People are like, it should be pretty soon.
My hope is March.
Hopefully in time for the spring rush out there. So thanks, Matt. Cool. Always fun.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And that wraps up the three-part interview with Matt Giovannisi. Like I said, I'm going to try and circle back with Matt in the next couple weeks here, maybe after the smoke clears from the March core update, and get an update from him. I mean, at the time that I'm recording this, it's March 11th, so you can peek behind the curtain of the scheduling, but I'm heading out for a conference in a couple days, and then I'll be heading out on a trip, shortly after that, and things are just kind of busy, so I got to kind of schedule and plan this stuff ahead of time. But anyway, I'll circle back with Matt, and the thing is, it's just crazy out there. When I'm looking at my YouTube feed, there's just all these insane updates. I mean, there were channels, there were people like working on stuff for like a year, publishing bulk AI content, and they're just like, I have nothing going on now. Like everything has crashed, and I'm not sure what some people were thinking. Like, I think we knew that it wasn't going to be a long-term strategy, but I think people were really like putting almost all of their effort in. So I feel bad for those folks, but it was such a flash in the pan. Well, who knows? I mean, things could shift. But anyway, thanks for checking out the series here. If you have any thoughts on dividing up long episodes into shorter ones, let me know. I know sometimes my podcast consumption changes. I mean, I like long form content, but sometimes if it's divided into smaller pieces, it's a little bit easier for me to consume or sort of divide up depending on what I'm doing. Like, I'm about to go on a walk outside and I may listen to like a short 30-minute podcast because I want to finish whatever it is I'm starting versus like kind of continuing to listen to a 3-hour podcast over like 5 or 6 days. So let me know, feedback@doug.show. And I think that's it. So thanks a lot. We'll catch you on the next episode.